It's so nice to be with you all. I'm really enjoying myself. So lately, folks that I know have been experimenting with a new strategy for cooking meals at home. Friends of mine have signed up for a service that delivers to their home a box with all of the ingredients required to cook a meal for two. Have you seen these things? Lots of companies offer this service, so I'm not going to plug a particular company. Supermarkets are now getting in on the act, too, which is the way that Jim and I have tried this at our house. So here's how it works. You go to the supermarket, and instead of buying individually all of the separate ingredients that you need to make a meal, you buy one box, and inside the box, there's the recipe, a picture of the finished meal, and all of the ingredients already measured out. To make the meal, you use everything in the box, and you use all of everything that's included in the box. So if the meal calls for a teaspoon of sugar, there will be exactly one teaspoon of sugar in the box, pre-measured and individually packaged. If the recipe calls for one red onion finely chopped, there will be one red onion in the box. You have to chop it yourself, but the onion will be there. So here are the advantages of this. A, you won't come home from the supermarket ready to make dinner and realize you've forgotten some important ingredient. It's all in the box. If the recipe calls for some unusual ingredient, you won't have to go to more than one store to find it. Everything's in the box. If the recipe calls for just a little portion of some weird ingredient, you don't have to buy a giant size of the stuff and then never use the rest of it and feel bad every time you open your kitchen cabinet and see the unused portion sitting there until you finally throw it away a year later. The box will include exactly as much as you need, and you will use it all. And here's the thing that I think most people really like. The boxes make it easier to cook at home, so people who like to cook can now have a home-cooked meal more often. And finally, because the boxes simplify so much of the cooking process, folks are encouraged to try to cook something that isn't already in their repertoire, or to experiment with an ingredient that they may never have tried before. Now, here's the big disadvantage of these cook-at-home boxes. Because every ingredient comes in its own pre-measured package, you open the box and you find a lot of packaging, a lot. You use all the ingredients, and then you have to throw away all the packaging. So there's a lot of waste, and that's not so good. But I tell this story not really to advocate for these meal boxes. I'm not a cook, so I've never actually tried one. But watching Jim prepare a meal a few times, it made me think how work gets accomplished. To make a meal, or to build a condominium tower, or to pass a healthcare bill, or to change the culture around sexual harassment, or to earn a college degree, or to earn the respect of your peers, or to make a difference in the world, or make a life for yourself, work happens step by step. First there's this, and then there's this next thing. You gather all of the ingredients, and then you cook them. You follow the recipe. It has to be this before that, and lastly this. Start here, and then go there. And in every example of work, you have to start from where you are. If you have the meal box in front of you, you can open it and start there. But if you don't have the box, first you have to drive to the grocery store and buy one. Or you can go online and subscribe to one of the services that will mail you a box once a week. If you're building a condo tower, well, I hardly know where to begin on a project like that. But first you have to buy the site, I suppose, and get the permits, and demolish the old building, and dig a big hole. And maybe you have to start even earlier than that, a step of research and imagination. Or maybe you're the contractor who's brought in to finish a condo project that somebody else has already started. Okay, then you have to ask yourself, what has already been done? Where are we now? That's where I need to start from. Where you start from makes all of the difference. That's why if you ask your smartphone for directions to the store, the first thing it's going to ask you is directions from where? The directions are completely different if you're leaving from home or if you're coming from work. Where are you starting from? Every project needs to know. We start from here. We start from now. We get to what will be by starting from what is. That seems obvious, doesn't it? But it isn't so obvious sometimes. Imagine, for instance, that the work you want to do is a project like changing the culture around sexual harassment. For a project like that, we often don't start where we are. We start at the end. The first step for certain kinds of projects like that and for a certain kind of person is to imagine for ourselves the ideal world where we want to end. Sexual harassment is wrong. No one should be made to feel uncomfortable at their workplace or forced into behavior that they didn't invite or give consent to. No one should feel manipulated by a person because of their power or position or their physical strength. Predators should be called out, not protected. Everyone should be safe to control access to their own bodies, and so on. The principles are clear. All we need to do then, some people believe, is to talk about the principles. We must start at the end. We name the ideal. We insist on the principles. We accept no compromises to the principles, no half measures. And how could there be a compromise on protecting persons from sexual harassment? The end is where we have to begin. Or imagine that we want to pass a health care bill in the United States. Health care is a human right. Everyone should have access to health care. The government should provide free health care for people who can't afford it. A single-payer, government-provided health care plan has already been proven in many countries around the world to be the best solution. The principles are clear. Single-payer is clearly the best. Any other system is a compromise from the best. And why compromise when any compromise would necessarily be a diminishing of the ideal? The goal is clear. Let's just do it. Let's start at the end. Of course, we're not against all compromises. Sometimes compromise can be a good thing. Sometimes compromise can improve the work because compromise brings in more voices and perspectives and ideas. When goals are complex or important values are in conflict with each other, compromise might be necessary. But when we're talking about ideals, compromise means walking away from our goals. Compromise would mean betrayal. Compromise means giving up. And no, never. When we're talking about a person's right to control their own body, there is no acceptable compromise. When we're talking about life or death, there is no acceptable compromise. When we're talking about ideals, anything less than the ideal means allowing the real suffering of real people to continue. We can't have that. With ideals, there can be no compromising. And there can be no delay. And there can be no half measures. What do we want? We know what we want. When do we want it? Now. The hymn we sang just a minute ago sang exactly this kind of sentiment in the last verse. From compromise and things half done, keep me with stern and stubborn pride. And when at last the fight is won, oh, keep me still unsatisfied. So when we're talking about ideals, a certain kind of social justice warrior wants to start at the end and finish at the end and do all of their work at the end. The goal is the only thing. And the work is to be directly at the goal, not get there through a long and circuitous path, but to be there already. To start at the end. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's also exhausting. And what it's not, though, very often is effective. For folks who are motivated by ideals, the present reality exists only as a negatively inspiring example of what we must immediately abandon. This is the path of the revolutionary, the burn it all down and then do it right the next time. Philosophy. Reality is not to be accepted, but attacked. Full out, pressure on, dialed to 11, until our dream is done, until the fight is won, And as the hymn says, even then, probably, oh, keep me still unsatisfied. Now, I don't mean to disparage ideals, certainly, or idealists. Principles are important. My point isn't to advocate satisfaction with half-done work, or to accept that we learn to tolerate just a little oppression, or that there's an acceptable amount of injustice, or ask that folks not complain when the abuse isn't really that bad. My point isn't to equivocate on the goal of where we're headed. My point is to talk about the tactics we take to get there. Starting at the end is seldom an effective strategy. Your smartphone wouldn't be very effective at helping you get where you're going if all it gave you was the destination address and a nice picture. What you need is turn-by-turn directions to there from where you are. And along the way, you need to be willing to drive through a lot of places that look nothing like the place you want to get to and that you have no interest in and that you won't even stop at. That's not compromising on the goal. That's following the strategy. If you're going to make dinner from a box, it would be silly to lay out the ingredients on the counter, criticize them for not being dinner already, and then start shouting your demands. Instead, you follow the recipe. You take the red onion, you finely chop the onion, and while you're cooking, there are going to be a lot of steps where you've got nothing to eat yet. Nobody wants to eat a bowl of finely chopped red onion, but that's what a step along the way is going to look like. If you're building a condo tower, you start at the beginning and you follow the steps, step by step, probably for years. And for years, nobody lives in the condos. Nobody gets housed in an unfinished building. And that doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean you've compromised. It just means you aren't done yet. Step by step, the longest march can be won. One more step. We'll take one more step till there is peace for us and everyone. We'll take one more step. To get big work done, you have to follow the twisty, frustrating, sometimes boring, and always too slow steps. And you have to start from where you are, not the end. Starting from where you are doesn't mean simply that you start at the beginning. Starting from where you are means a deep and respectful understanding of reality. As a person who tries to follow a reality-based religion, I'm constantly reminding myself to really look at what's really going on. What's the real truth of this situation? What is actually here? Not my hopes and my wishes and my fantasy projections. Not what would make it easy if I could just ignore that thing over there. I'm not pointing to the choir, sorry. Not what ought to be or what should be, but what is it really? What really is? What really is probably not the easiest starting place. Where you actually are really is likely messy and complicated because that's what reality is. The reality of the situation is very likely already compromised. If you're building a condo tower, it makes a difference where you build it. You have to analyze the soil. Are you building in Mexico City or Chicago or Dubai? It also makes a difference when you build it. The technology available to build skyscrapers was very different if you started building in 1910 or in 2010. We had different materials available. The legal requirements for environmental issues, for labor issues, for building safety, and so on will all be different. You don't just build a building. You build a specific building at a specific time and on a specific lot. Any big work that we want to do faces those same reality-based issues. Excuse me. Any big work we want to do faces those same reality-based issues. We don't ever start from a clean slate. We start from where we are. Developing healthcare policy, in the United States in the early 2000s is very different from developing healthcare policy in Great Britain in the 1950s. The reality in the United States is that during the Second World War, United States employers were bound by law to offer only certain wages. So, to attract the best workers, employers started offering medical insurance as a fringe benefit. So now, decades later in the United States, we have a lot of people who get medical insurance through their employer. And it's going to be hard to convince those people that they should start paying for health care that currently feels like they're getting it for free. It's going to be hard to convince those people to give up a benefit that they currently enjoy in order to get a benefit they aren't sure about and are afraid that they might not like. If we were creating a brand new healthcare plan from a clean starting place in 2018, it would probably be a good strategy to research all of the possibilities, choose the best one, and then implement it directly. Single payer would win, hands down. But we're not starting from a clean slate. Like a condo developer in Mexico City, we've got to build from where we are. And that means our healthcare foundation is an ancient lake bed that's been drained of water with loose soil in a region that's prone to earthquakes. We can still build our tower or eventually, I think, our single-payer medical plan, but it's going to be a lot more difficult to get there and indirect. Reality-based strategies are complicated and frustrating and slow, but hey, that's the reality. And hey, the work is worth it. That's what fires up our longing for social change in the first place. People are suffering. Healthcare is too expensive, and too many people are not getting the medical care they need. Women are harassed in the workplace and are missing out on opportunities in their career because some lecherous, powerful man is blocking the door. We have a right to be angry and loud and dialed up to 11, and we should make sure that our demands are heard. But we should also keep our eye on the prize, because the goal is not that we be heard. The goal is that people stop suffering. So how do we end the suffering? And I say to you that we start from where we really are, acknowledging and accepting that we seldom start from an ideal place. And we acknowledge and accept that big goals are achieved painstakingly and slowly, and people might keep suffering while we work. You can't skip steps. You can't jump directly to the end. And there will be long, long periods when the work in front of you looks nothing like the goal that you're working for. Compromise at the beginning and compromise in the process is not a moral failing, but an expected and normal part of the path. But taking the steps, one after the other, following the directions, turn by turn, putting together the ingredients, following the recipe, eventually you'll have your dinner. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.